See, the foundation of money is trust. So when...
Wait, stop there. I need everyone to just sit on that for a second.
That's why I paused.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an entrepologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Today was a really cool conversation. We talked about something that everyone thinks about, but no one really wants to say out loud, and that is money. Money is something, whether we like it or not, we all hold beliefs around because it intersects with all of our lives. Some of us believe that money is a bad thing, that it is evil, that it perpetuates bad things in this world. And others have evolved from a place where maybe they held a mindset that was keeping them back to a place that enables them to have money flow into their lives freely and easily. We hear about these people. They are like myths. They're like mermaids in the ocean. And we haven't rarely had the opportunity to sit down with them and really understand what that mindset looks like in real life. That's what I did today. Today, I sat down with David Binns. David is a real estate agent by background and training, but he is a self-proclaimed contributor to the self-improvement movement, and he is walking that journey every day himself. We looked at the concept of the mindset of money and enabled our own way of thinking to transition from a place where we are looking at hustle as a way to earn money to mindset as a way of enabling money to flow towards us. The conversation was insightful. It gave me goosebumps throughout, and it was really foundational to addressing a concept that I believe is important to everybody's health. When I look at intake forms and I try to understand what it is that's driving someone's health and the stresses that people carry in their life, it doesn't matter how much money someone appears to have. It is rare that finances aren't checked off a list of things that are contributing to how someone is feeling on a daily basis. We have to wrap our heads around the concept of money if we are ever going to be at a place where we are truly free with respect to our health. This conversation is a starting point for that mindset, that way of thinking, and the liberation that comes from looking at money from a whole new way. The conversation was as insightful as possible as it pertains to these types of things. I can't wait for you to hear it. Everyone, David Binns. David Binns, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you.
It is such a pleasure to have you. Whenever we sit down, we have these amazing in-depth conversations, and I never know where they're like a choose your own adventure conversation. So I'm really excited to have you here today, and we're going to delve into all sorts of things, but what we're really going to start to talk about is the energetics of money and wealth building for impact and positive influence and all of those things. But maybe what we can do before we get into that is back up a little bit. You're a man of many hats and talents. Perhaps you can share with my listeners a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are today.
When I was really young, I was, you know, we grew up in Oakville, which is a really affluent town just outside of Toronto. And, you know, we grew up in a lower class family, and, you know, to really put it bluntly, you know, my mom was, you know, making, you know, 30, 40 grand a year, and money was always scarce. And meanwhile, all of my friends, you know, their parents were either CEOs of major corporations, CFOs, like I was surrounded by people who were making a lot of money. And I never understood it. And then it started to come to me when I was about 10 or 12 years old. And I just knew that there was no difference between me and those people. And I really started to discover at a really young age self-development. And I saw a man who was really tall with really big teeth named Tony Robbins on television. And that was a pivotal moment in my life when I was probably about 10 or 12, yeah. And from there is when my personal development journey started. And, you know, fast forward, I made some good money in high school, but then I spent it all. And then I got into another job and spent that money. And I always knew that something was off. And then I got into commercial real estate. And that's when my personal development journey really began. And I, you know, did a myriad of different programs. I left commercial real estate, and I left commercial real estate with $60,000 in debt, with $1,500 in my pocket, and I literally had no other money. I didn't have RRSPs, I didn't have room on my Visa, line of credit, nothing. And I had rent due in 10 days of $900, so effectively, I had $600 in my bank account. And from there, within a very quick period of time, in fact, within a year and a half, 2 years, I moved over to residential real estate and I became top 25 in Canada. And I've consistently done that for the last 3 years. And that's really how it all came to be, is when I was really young, I just knew that there was something that was off. And I knew that there was just something that I had to go to work on. And I've consistently done that work.
So first of all, you had me at Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Because I think I took one of his tape cassette things out of the library when I was in high school, and I was like, who is this man and how do I marry him? I totally get that. But before you mentioned him, you backed up, you said something, you said you looked around at all these people and you realized that you were no different than any of them. And I feel like having an awareness, an insight that you are just like these people, that in and of itself, I feel like would have taken some work. Like, what was it that enabled you to look at those people and be like, I'm just like them, as opposed to, oh, I could never be them?
Yeah, it was kind of two headed, because in one instance, you know, as a kid, when everyone's, you know, parents are buying them cars and, you know, spending lots of money, and then, you know, we didn't have that kind of money. You know, it's very conflicting as a young kid. And on the other side, I always knew, I don't know, and I still to this day can't figure it out, but I always knew that my life wasn't supposed to go that way, that I could have everything that everyone else had. And that's really where that's why it's kind of two-headed, is because everyone around me had everything, literally, and they're spend money on anything, and we didn't. And that was like a huge pivotal moment for me, is I knew that part of my life was to crack that code for myself. Because we all grow up in, you know, inside of a certain set of agreements, and that what is often called a lineage. So we have a lineage of thinking in our family, and I've been out to, and so has my sister, been out to disrupt the lineage of the financial future of our family. And that's really why I've taken all of this on.
It's so amazing, because I think there's probably a lot of people out there being like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And I feel like I am where you were when you said, you know, I had $60,000 in debt and I had $1,500 to my name and upcoming expenses. And to borrow from Tony Robbins, you made this leap from, you know, where you were at to top 25 in Canada. And there's a huge jump there. And what it hits home for me is that it wasn't about resources. It was about resourcefulness. So like, how did you do that? How did you do that without the capacity to grab a huge loan or have parents fund a shift? Like what was it? What did you do? Did you hustle? Did you network? Like, what was it?
Well, it's a great question. The other thing is, I've actually never done a Tony Robbins program, yet he's made a profound difference in my life.
Yeah, me neither. We should go do that.
So, you know, I was doing a lot of self-development work at that time when I made that shift from commercial real estate to residential real estate. And you know, the hustle works, you know, the hustle is really dangerous because like the way that hustle is being being marketed or said today through social media, because for two reasons. There's, you can read more about this in The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. You know, take person A and person B. They both go out and they work the same amount of hours doing the same task. They're both going to have dramatically different results. Why is that? That's the inquiry. And if you haven't read that book, for your listeners, I highly recommend that you do. But in, you know, coming back to your question, this really starts to fit into when I really started to discover for myself that money is energy. Money is not mechanical. You and I can both go out and work our butts off on the same task, looking for the same desired result, and it will show up dramatically different for both of us. I can't make that any more clear. Like, money is not mechanical. It is a self-discovery and it's energy. And you can read that in The Science of Getting Rich. You can read that in The Richest Man in Babylon. You can read that in Think and Grow Rich. Go on and on and on. And that is the common theme. And in that period of time, I had to constantly, and I mean constantly, every day, keep myself in a space or in a feeling of curiosity and wonderment. Like being curious about how the next or how the first sale, how the first home sale or condo sale was going to come into my life. I had to wonder about where that was going to come from. And then wham, in the first 10 days, my former girlfriend at the time, her mom, who I hadn't talked to in 3 years, emailed me and said, I'd like you to sell my house. And then 5 days after that, an old friend approached me and says, hey, I need you to help me buy a condo. And then it just went like wildfire from there.
What do we do with our beliefs around money? Where do we start when people go, yeah, money is energy and that energy is bad?
That's a great question. So the best place that I could see for someone to start is to read The Millionaire Mind. That is a book by T. Harv Eker. He very much goes into the belief systems and constructs that we as individuals make up about money. See, your relationship to money is different than mine. My relationship to money is different than my sister's. Your relationship is different than, you know, name the person.
Right.
Right. So there is a relationship, and then that relationship actually creates the energy. And if you look and you wrote down your relationship to money, that will be perfectly correlated to how it shows up in your life. So as before, I had it that money was really hard. Like, I had to work my butt off and hustle. And then when I actually gave that up and I got for myself that money flows to me freely and easily while I still work hard as I'm in real estate, it flows to me much easier than it did before.
And what happens when it gets stuck? What happens when it's like, oh gosh, it's been a rough few months, or it's slower than normal? Where do you drive the strength to go back to the belief that's empowering versus the logical belief, right? Our logical minds take over all the time and they're like, oh, you know, I didn't get a phone call for 2 days. We must be going back to reality. How do we stay in that place that drives abundance?
Yeah, it's, again, really great question. See, the foundation of money is trust. So when...
Wait, stop there. I need everyone to just sit on that for a second.
That's why I paused. The foundation of money is trust.
Okay, carry on. That was awesome.
So there's two points there that I can give a real life example for myself. Is I was top 25 in Canada for the largest real estate services firm in the world in 2015. I barely prospected, you know, looking for new clients, and I was working hard, don't get me wrong. But our business is very much go, 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 find clients. And in November, in the first week of December 2015, I said two things to myself. I can't keep doing this, and this can't continue. The I can't keep doing this was how hard I was working. and this can't continue was driven by everything flowed to me this year. Like, this was way too easy. So what did that do? That completely thwarted and took out my trust that I can actually build a business that way. And then what happened was I didn't sell a house. Actually, I correct myself. I sold one house in 6 months after being top 25 in Canada. And then I had to go to work on rebuilding my trust with myself that I can consistently and ongoingly grow my business. And I have an intuitive therapist that I work with. She's like a spiritual coach where from working with her, my relationship with money has really exploded inside. You know, I've also worked, you know, I'm also in an investment training group where we get a ton of this training. But that's the foundation of it. The foundation of money is trust. If you don't trust yourself, if you don't trust, call it the universe, source, God, the world, whatever you identify with, if you don't trust that you can have everything you desire in life, it ain't going to show up.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And I know I do a lot of business coaching, and it's amazing because you can teach the mechanics of how to run a business. And for a lot of people, this is new information. But then there's this whole additional layer, which is the mindset around that success. And it's not entitlement. I think sometimes we mislabel it, but it is, trust is such a beautiful and perfect way of describing it.
Yeah, it is. And it's a very much an individual discovery. Your wealth path is different. In your wealth path in discovering your relationship to money is different than mine. But the ticket is to actually begin to really go to work and ask the questions of why do I not allow myself to have what I want?
Do you think for most people that starts with the story that they have been taught around money in terms of their family of origin?
100%. That goes back to what I said earlier around the lineage and agreements that we create as kids around our relationship with money. 100%. And an access to that is The Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. He goes to work on that.
Right, which is amazing. I mean, we work with entrepreneurs, and I think one of the struggles that we have as entrepreneurs is, you know, you can come home and say to your parents, I'm going to med school, I'm going to be a lawyer, I got into my MBA, and your parents are like, that's amazing, that's so great, you're going to have security. And then the entrepreneur is like, I'm going to start a business, and there's just this blank face, right? There's just like this, what? Yep. What are you doing? Like, yeah. What are you doing for a pension? How are you going to, you know, we go into full, it's just projected onto us. So, I mean, what a powerful conversation to be able to have for this this population of people who are really trying to break out of that, really trying to break out of that mold.
Exactly. We're the disruptors, the contrarians in life, right? Like there's so much more available out of what we were taught. And, you know, in all fairness, our parents grew up in a different age.
Even entrepreneurial parents grew up in a different age.
Exactly.
Yeah. Starting a business 40 years ago was different tools. It was different language. There's different barriers to entry. It was a different time period altogether.
Yep.
When you started to shift this mindset around money and you're like, I'm retelling the story. Did you feel like at first you were, how do I put it? You were faking the conversation. Like you went from, oh gosh, I have all these core beliefs around money and I'm scared and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm going to switch my mindset to money comes easily and freely. Did you fully believe that at first? Like, or did you just say it to yourself enough that you started to see it? Like, how did that transition happen for you?
Well, the transition happened, which began out of a program I did called the Landmark Forum. And that's a really powerful program. And after that, I did one of the seminars there. And during that seminar, we were taught to actually be curious, like how could things actually happen in our lives? And the thing that for me, that I'll never take away from myself is I'm unwilling to give up on what's possible. And the real, when that shift really happened, during that during that transition from commercial real estate to residential real estate, there definitely was hustle. Like I was working, 18 hours a day. I had no choice. And I wouldn't have produced the kind of results I did if I didn't actually get actually curious as an experience, as an ontological experience, if I didn't get curious about how the results or how the clients would show up in my life. That's the biggest, one of the other biggest things around money is people have to give up the how. You have to revoke your right to understand the how of money is going to how it's going to reveal itself in your life. That's a tough one for people to grapple with.
Well, yeah, because I think at the end of the day, there's an element of panic around money until it's sitting there, and it's much safer to hang out in a place of intellect than it is of sheer feeling when it comes to solving the problem of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is money a problem to be solved? Like, what's the role of the intellect in terms of the building of wealth? What's the balance? Is there like an 80-20? It's 80% trust and 20% skill. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, there is a scale, and there's a mechanical side, and then there's the let's just call it the mind side or the energy side of money. The mechanical side is imperative. It's critical. Like, where are you putting your money inside of investments, or how are you earning your money? How is money flowing to you? Like, what systems do you have called jobs or businesses? What mechanics do you have to actually build wealth? And that's a whole nother podcast right there. But then the other side is, understanding the money, like how money flows, understanding trust, understanding havingness. That's a huge, huge distinction that Neil Donald Walsh talks about in many of his books, is actually the ability to allow yourself to have what you want right now. It's not external. It's not something to get. Have it right now. So if you want to make 20 grand a month, have that as an as-lived experience right now. So the scale between the mechanics and, I don't like the word, I'll use it, the mindset component, the mechanics is about 10% of it. The other portion is the 90. And some would argue it's even, and I would agree, but it's actually, 0.5% on the mechanics, and it's, 99.5% on the mindset side.
Right. Okay. So let's take those two concepts, because I want to make a financial differentiation here, because I think a lot of people too are not specific about what it is that they're asking for. Yep. So it's just like, I had someone in my office the other day and she said, if I just had $1 million, everything would be better. And I was like, okay. But I think we often get caught in that, right? Oh, if I just had X, Y, or Z. But there's two sides to money if we break it down really simply. There's an asset side. I've got a $5 million house. I'm just saying. I have a $5 million house, but it's not liquid, right? It's like in the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful, but I can't access that cash. And then there is cash flow. And I think most people say they want $1 million, but what they really want is consistent cash flow.
Yep.
If we start there, because we have people from a variety of backgrounds listening. Some people are, they've got great cash flow. They are financially stable. Their business is well entrenched. And then we have a lot of people who are like, I just got out of school and I have $100,000 debt. And I am where you were, where you're like, I don't have resources, but I'm committed to this new mindset. I'm committed to this idea of building cash flow. Do you have a first step for those people in terms of, where we go first from that mindset? Like, what would be the first mantra that you would want them to engage in?
Double down and spend every penny you have on developing yourself. Over the last 8 years, I have spent over $100,000 on personal development.
Love it.
That you got to double down on yourself, because you actually don't need resources. You've got everything. You've got a brain. That's the only resource you need. Go buy books, do programs, dive into podcasts, just become immersed in personal development.
It's funny, because I feel like that is a consistent message that I that I hear from people when we're talking about like, where do I go? What do I do next? Like everyone I know who is successful has committed themselves to self-development.
Yep.
What does that mean for you? Is that, there's multiple parts to that, right? There's mindset, there's money, there's health. What are the components of your personal development quadrant or areas that you look at?
Health, definitely. It's how I met you. That's been a huge one for me over the last 12 to 14 months. Money for sure, but more importantly I would say number two is the impact that I want to have during this finite period of time called life. That's the biggest reason, you know, I lead leadership programs for one of the largest personal development companies in the world. It's one of the reasons I do so much personal development work, is so I can empower other people to actually see what's possible. I could go on and on and on about that, but I'm a very firm believer on giving up our view of what we believe to be true about ourselves and life and going out and doing the real deal personal development work. Invest in yourself, double down. You are your biggest asset.
Well, I mean, you say you could go on about this all day. So let's do, I've got all day. One of the things I've observed in my practice, and I ask all of my new patients this question, I say, what is your purpose? And 90% of the time they look at me with a blank look on their face, and that's okay. But we get them rallied around the conversation of investigating their purpose, of understanding their broader mission in this world. And for me, my outcomes in my practice, it's not about how I intervene or what supplements I use or anything else. People who have discovered and are committed to working on their purpose get better. They always get better.
Yep.
And so maybe that's we back up. That's where it starts, right? And if we're going to trust money and we're going to work around our core beliefs, if you believe that money is evil, then we need to shift your mindset about what it is you could do in terms of your impact or living out your purpose if you had that as an additional resource.
Yeah, I think, you know, a big part of it is, people going through and actually being willing to see. When people say, I don't know what my purpose is, I actually don't buy it. You can never sell me on that, because we all know what our purpose is. It's just a matter of if we're conscious to it and we say it or we don't. And sometimes that's a big thing for people. Like, wow, yeah, this is what I really want to do. Like, we see that all the time. And people, you know, quote unquote, come out about why they're really here. You see it all the time. But that's a big driver, because that has life be more than just about us as an individual. That's when we get all, you know, screwed up about life, is when it's all about us. The moment we get out here and have it be about other people and then have our life wrapped around why we're here. You know, I'm a firm believer we're all here, as Gabrielle Bernstein says, we're all here to deliver on a universal assignment. Firm believer. You know, I understand there's other books that call it a soul assignment, but we're all here for something. And it's, you know, it's going on that path to actually, you know, if you are a listener and you're not entirely sure of why you're actually here and what your purpose is, begin that journey. It's fun.
It is fun. And it changes everything about getting up and going to work every day. If you get up and you go to work and you're like, ugh, like that's your feeling about engaging the world, then like, new lens, like this is an opportunity to look at your purpose. I mean, if you care that little about what you're doing at work every day, then, you know, fill your brain with some purpose investigation and move on.
Yeah. And what's important to know is that, you know, it's an evolution. So whatever your purpose is right now, or whatever my purpose is right now, that will evolve. You know, it's not when people have it, like when they discover their purpose, they're trapped and dominated by it. It's like, no. Just be with that and go fulfill on that for now, and allow whatever there is for you to allow whatever there is to show up, and then flow forward with that.
What is your purpose?
It's a great question. So my purpose is to be a leader in this world and to be the, you know, to be a contrarian. I'm very much a contrarian in actually what's possible. And not, you know, I'm always going against the grain. I always have since I was a kid. My sister says, you know, we always know that you're just going to go do what you want to do. And I do that. And a big part of me that really gets expressed a lot is to actually have people discover their leadership in who they really are. That for me is incredibly important. For people, everyone here is a leader, whether they think it or not, and we all have something miraculous to contribute. And that's why I'm here, to actually have people discover that and step into that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think leadership has to start with yourself.
100%.
Yeah, and taking those steps and being congruent and authentic. What do you want your legacy to be?
I know parts of it. You know, definitely with my family is, you know, a big part of what I'm up to is, you know, with, I have an real estate investment company as well, is, you know, having my family set up when I leave this earth to actually be financially independent. Intergenerational wealth is what we're creating right now. And I don't mean, you know, maybe it is tens of millions of dollars every year. I have no idea, but that's what I'm at work on right now, is to actually build my real estate investment company so my family can be financially taken care of for, you know, 3, 4, 5 generations. And that's what I'm at work on right now. So they can actually go and fulfill on what matters to them without having to be constrained by this thing called money. That's a big part of it right now. Also, you know, my legacy will be a profound contribution in the quality of life in the people that I've touched, in the people that I've led programs to and have already led programs to. Like, it's something I often get displaced from, is the contribution that I actually make, you know, ongoingly in the quality of life of people. You know, I lead a leadership program here in Toronto. It's actually all over the world. And for me, it's like the new normal. It's just what I do. And it's really easy to forget that. It's like, wow, you actually are making an actual massive contribution in the quality of these people's lives and the people that they touch. So those are the two that I'm really present to right now that I'm definitely up to.
Amazing. Big thinker, yeah. Like always. David, how would you define health?
I would define health as having your mind, your heart, and your body be reflective of how you actually want to feel and experience life.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. This is a really great place to transition to the second part of the interview. And these are, I call these key performance indicators. So these are quick rapid fire questions. So just like we'd have KPIs in a business that help us assess its health and growth potential. I have these for my guests as well. So they're not hard. They're just insightful in terms of what is the square root of, no, just kidding. It just gives people an insight into you. So here's the first question. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So I get up generally between 5:30 and 6. I will do diaphragmatic breathing and meditation for a minimum of 20 minutes every morning. Typically, it's around 45. Then I wake up, I'll get out of bed and I'll do some journaling. That's something I've taken on over the last year, which I've just absolutely loved. And then I will fill out my 5-minute journal, and I will then put on some really great music just to really raise my energy level. And I drink 24 ounces of butter coffee, otherwise known as bulletproof coffee, have a bunch of water, get present to the greatness of life and what I'm creating that day. And then I head out and get on with my day.
Love it. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
What I'm reading right now, chapter by chapter, because it's so rich, is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I started reading it a while ago, and then I picked it up and started it again because it's so good.
Great recommendation.
Yeah.
What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
I eat, for the most part, I eat the same thing every day. That's been a big, big thing for me, is I put my food on automatic. It's just on autopilot. And then I obviously will eat other foods, but for the most part in my day-to-day life, I will eat the same thing every day. I'm extremely consistent with my food.
Is that about health or efficiency or both?
I call it the Zuckerberg effect, which I just kind of came up with about it. He wears the same clothes every day.
Right.
And for me, I've got an action-packed life. I've got tons on the go. And it's just a nice thing. I walk down and see my friends at the Impact Kitchen and pick up my meal and walk out. I don't have to think about it.
Do you wear the same clothes every day?
Absolutely not.
What do you do for fun or play?
I've really gravitated back to cycling. I've been cycling a ton this year, and I spend a ton of time up north here in Canada. What we call up north is about 2 hours, 3 hours out of Toronto. And this year I've also gone to a ton of concerts, and most recently I went to see Ricky Gervais here in Toronto. He's one of my favorites, and going to see Chris Stapleton, a country music artist, next Thursday with a good buddy of mine, actually. So starting to do a lot more of that.
That's great. And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think there's something that activates us, that activates the leadership or the willingness to go against the grain or the willingness to build something where we see a possibility, whether it's as a kid or, there's a lot of successful entrepreneurs that started in their 60s. I don't know if I actually have an answer for that one.
That's okay. You don't have to. That's the big stumper right at the end.
It is.
David, you are up to some really cool stuff. I know you've got an event coming up in September that I want people to know about. Where can people find out more about what you're up to and specifically about Mind Body Reset happening in September?
Yeah. So the best place to check me out is on Instagram, which is david.binns. That's B-I-N-N-S. Or always on Facebook, David Binns. And Mind Body Reset is health and wellness, as you well know, Megan, has become a huge part of my life over the last year. And, we've partnered up with yourself and a bunch of other really incredible professionals here in Toronto, where we are out to actually have people discover their own wellness path. And they can find more about that at mindbodyreset.co.
Perfect. And we'll have all of that in the show notes and our Facebook page as well. David, it was such a pleasure having you. I feel like we absolutely have to do this again. I have a million questions.
I would love to.
But this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.